handle of a long Brazilian machete he carried in a sheath hanging from his saddle horn. Sunlight glinted along the machete blade. But Cinco Diablos held firm. His right hand had not been idle. In it, he held a snub-barreled 8-gauge Spanish shotgun, its buttstock cut down to a pistol grip, its original long, ornate barrel replaced with one 3 inches long and flared on the end.
"Tell your fat belly adios,"
Diablos said, his teeth clenched squarely beneath his black mustache. At the slightest move from Toller, Cinco would drop the hammer and send a blast of nail heads through the man's barrel-like stomach.
"Damn it, boys,"
said Jessup Earls, bumping his horse into theirs, but careful not to get between them.
"No wonder I'm always short on good fighting men."
His dark eyes shined into Toller's.
"You can cleave his fingers off tonight if you have to, right before supper, if you really want a baker's beans."
His eyes streaked from Toller to the half-breed.
"Cinco, you shoot that bomber this close up, you'll be wearing Toller's gullet in your beard for the next month. We all will. Now let down, the both of yous."
"He will cut me," said Cinco Diablos, not backing off an inch.
"He's right, I will," said Toller, himself unyielding. "I allow no white man to touch my personage in any manner, let alone a half-breed."
"Boys, let your bark down," said Haddon Marr, his voice low and calm, but carrying both a threat and an authority that needed no further statement. Both men's eyes turned from themselves and to Haddon Marr. He sat relaxed in his Spanish-style hope saddle, his hands crossed on the wide, flat saddle horn. In his left socket he wore a yellow glass cat's eye, and its vertical pupil seemed alive and watching every move. He'd taken off his right glove and held it loosely in his left hand. From his saddle horn, a bundle of long black scalps hung intertwined as one against the shin of his knee-high Mexican boots. Amid the scalps hung a dried and blackened foot with 2 toes missing. He wore a black leather necklace strung with accumulated human teeth, ears, and spindly finger bones. Both Morton Toller and Cinco Diablos relented their position at the same time, slowly and grudgingly.
"I should have brought more whiskey,"
Toller grumbled, watching Cinco's horse sidestep a safer distance back from him.
"I'll kill you another time, half-breed,"
he said in afterthought.
"I will kill you first," said Cinco, giving a slight shrug. "There are 5 devils in me, only 1 in you. We will see who dies and who lives."
He let the hammer of the snub-nosed shotgun down, still stepping his horse away from Toller.
"If everybody's finished killing everybody else," said Jessup Earls, looking around at each man's face as he pulled a wad of chewing tobacco from a pouch made from a bull buffalo's scrotum, "let's get chawed up and ride out there."
He passed the tobacco pouch to Haddon Marr on his right. Marr took the pouch, but didn't dip into it. Instead, he passed it along to the nearest man, a thin, elderly man known as Uncle Andy Phil. A wide saber scar ran cheek to cheek across the bridge of Uncle Andy's nose, leaving an ugly slice of it missing, the remains lying flat against his face. Uncle Andy took a wad of tobacco and passed the pouch on to Taos Charlie, a gunman-turned-scalp-hunter who wore a brace of short-barreled Colt Thunderers on his left hip and his favorite gun, a big, long-barreled Remington, on his right. In his saddle boot stood a long, half-stocked Sheets Plains rifle with a silver eagle inlaid in its walnut stock. Taos took a small wad of tobacco and pitched the pouch to cross-eyed Burton Stowell.
"I never killed me a white woman before, except a whore once in Nebraska," said Taos.
He worked the tobacco into his jaw as he spoke. Stowell fumbled with the pouch until his eyes managed to focus on it. He pulled out a thick pinch of tobacco and passed the pouch on to Morton Toller.
"What's wrong with killing a white woman, whore or otherwise?"
Jessup Earls asked Taos in a firm tone.
"If the Hun says he'll pay double for yellow hair, we'll give him all the yellow hair he wants."
He looked from one grim face to the next for support.
"We'll give him enough yellow hair to stuff his match as far as I care."
"I never said anything was wrong with it," said Taos. "I just said I never done it, except that whore that time."
He looked at the others, spit a stream of tobacco juice, and grumbled something profane on